Welcome to the Arthur Show of Entrepreneurship and Regional Development Podcast. Each publication in our journal is a great opportunity to share significant and audacious contributions to our large audience. My guest today is Caroline Nessers from Redwood University. She recently published an article entitled An Exploration of How Moroccan Ethnic Minority Women Navigate and Negotiate Their Plural Identity in the Netherlands, a post-feminist analysis. She co-authored this paper with Patricia Lewis and Marjolaine Dernison. It has been published in Entrepreneurship and Regional Development, a journal edited by Taylor and Francis. Caroline, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you very much, Vincent.
Can you tell us what is the origin of your paper and why did you decide to address this particular topic and what is the question you aim to answer?
Yes, of course, Vincent. Thank you very much, first of all, for inviting me to do this podcast on this very, I think, important paper that I wrote together with Patricia Lewis and Marjolaine Dernison, my colleague at Radboud University. So this paper actually grew out of a question that interested me and also my colleagues, but I think more me because I've been focusing a lot on Moroccan, Dutch, ethnic minority women for many, many years. And I think I drew them in this interest. So I've been researching these women entrepreneurs for quite some time. And in earlier work, I mainly focus on how they negotiate their identities at the intersection of gender, which is, of course, a very important, a core category, I would say, of in and exclusion, particularly an entrepreneurial context, because entrepreneurship by definition is, of course, and unfortunately still very gender biased, but also at the intersection of ethnicity, religion, and, of course, entrepreneurship. And what became increasingly clear to me, to us, was that many of these women also talked about themselves in ways that resonated with the broader contemporary ideas, in line with post-feminism, about self-reliance, personal responsibility, resilience, and empowerment. But simultaneously, the entrepreneurship literature has increasingly used post-feminism to understand how white, merely white, women entrepreneurs construct their entrepreneurial identities. And with that, also how Western discourses had promoted, you could say, heroic role models of successful women entrepreneurs, casting individualized entrepreneurial femininity as a neoliberal, meritocratic view of entrepreneurship. But however, this work has exclusively focused on white Western women, as I said, and less on ethnic minority women. And yeah, so there's an implicit assumption that such post-feminist discourses primarily target and construct the identities of white Western women. And we thought this is quite and overly simplistic. So we started to ask ourselves the question, what happens, actually, if we look at minority women, entrepreneurs, through this particular lens? So, do, and if so, how, post-feminist discourses also shape how these women understand themselves as entrepreneurs? And like I said, if so, how do these discourses interact with their experience as, in this case, Moroccan Dutch women and women entrepreneurs? And that's actually became the central question of the paper. So how do Moroccan ethnic minority women entrepreneurs in the Netherlands navigate and negotiate their entrepreneurial identities? And what role does, in fact, post-feminism play in enabling, but also constraining that process?
Can you identify the one or maybe two key contributions of your paper that you believe will have the most impact on the field?
Yeah, so I think there are two main contributions indeed. First, we show that post-feminism is not something that only speaks to white, middle-class Western women. So our findings really demonstrate that these discourses also resonate with ethnic minority women entrepreneurs, although in quite distinctive ways. So, for instance, highlighting how it concurrently empowers but also burdens these women. And second, we show the paradoxical nature of post-feminism. So these women clearly draw strength from ideas such as agency, ambition, resilience, and self-transformation. And those ideas then help them establish successful businesses and challenge traditional gendered experiences. But at the same time, these same discourses can individualize responsibility. And structural inequalities around gender and ethnicity become something that women feel they have to solve themselves. So post-feminism is simultaneously empowering, but also limiting. And we want to make clear that tension and make it visible. And finally, I don't know, is that the third contribution, but aligned with the second contribution, we introduce what we call the post-feminist ethnic minority woman entrepreneur, not as a fixed type of entrepreneur, but as an entrepreneur identity that is continuously performed through these intersecting discourses on post-feminism.
What was for you the main theoretical or maybe methodological challenge or challenges in addressing such questions, and how did you navigate?
I would actually say that the biggest challenge was not methodologically, but more theoretically, or perhaps at the intersection of both, you could say, because we deliberately didn't want to present post-feminism as a universal theory that simply explains everything. So instead, we decided to use it as what we call a critical analytic device. That means we use it as a lens to interpret the narratives, the life stories, while remaining open to what the participants themselves were saying. And we also wanted to avoid portraying these women either as victims or of discrimination or as completely free entrepreneurial agents. Yeah, their stories were much more nuanced than that. So I think methodologically, narrative interviewer was very helpful, in fact, because it allowed interviewees to tell their stories in depth and in their own way. And upon that, during the analysis, we first coded inductively, allowing themes to emerge from the interviews. And only afterwards, we interpreted these themes through a post-feminist perspective. And that really helped us to stay close to the empirical data. So, yeah, there were some challenges, but I think we solved it well through this perspective.
Let's talk about the research process itself. Can you share something about the journey, perhaps a turning point during data collection, a difficult decision you had to make about the research design, or even a moment of doubt? Any surprise or counterintuitive result? Something that made you rethink your initial assumptions?
Yes, interesting question, of course. Yeah, one thing that really surprised us was how naturally many participants talked about resilience and personal responsibility. So they openly acknowledged discrimination, unequal opportunities, and stereotypes. But almost immediately afterwards, they would say things like, you just have to work harder, you have to keep going, or it's up to me to make it happen. So that contradiction became a real turning point in our analysis. So initially, we were mainly looking at experiences of inequality. But gradually, we realized that the more interesting story wasn't simply that inequality exists, but more that it was about how these women simultaneously recognize structural barriers while also feeling personally responsible for overcoming them. So, yeah, that was a real unexpected thing, how they were dealing with it. And another unexpected finding was that alongside this very individual language, you could say, of resilience, we also found examples of women actively supporting other minority women entrepreneurs. And that hinted at a more collective relational form of resilience, which we think deserves far more attention in future research.
If you could go back to the beginning of this project, knowing what you know now, what would you do differently, and what advice would you give to other scholars embarking on similar research?
Let's go upstairs. Anyway, okay. Yes. So looking back, I think I would probably Not sure, by the way, because this was really the first time, I think, and it was quite renewing to use a post-feminist lens on ethnic minority women entrepreneurs. But on the other hand, I could probably include a more diverse group of ethnic minority women entrepreneurs. Like I said, our study now focuses specifically on women Moroccan entrepreneurs in the Netherlands, which allowed us to develop a very rich contextual understanding. But it would be very fascinating to compare these findings with people from other ethnic minority communities or in other national contexts, perhaps. And I don't think I would have done it differently in that sense, but a next time I would also be very interested in following entrepreneurs over time, because identity is never static. A longitudinal study could show how these post-feminist discourses become stronger or even weaker during different stages of entrepreneurship in these women's lives.
Thanks a lot, Caroline, for participating in our show and for pulling back the curtain on your research process on your article entitled An Exploration of How Moroccan Ethnic Minority Women Navigate and Negotiate Their Entrepreneurial Identity in the Netherlands, Post-Feminist Analysis. All our podcasts are available on entrepreneurship.ca.com and on the main podcast platform.